The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Okay, good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga on this chilly, chilly Saturday. And it looks like it's going to be this way all week. The extended forecast is for the 3-4 degrees overnight, and I think one night below zero, and then in the teens during the week. So I don't know. It's a crazy weather pattern now, and after that nice weather, I really don't like nice weather like we had in the winter, because you get used to it, and then when we get shocked again, it makes it doubly worse. So anyway, I want to get to our show, and I want to welcome Dennis Hulte, all right, Dennis Hulte, and Susie O'Kane, and we're welcoming them back. We had you on, I think, in the fall, early in the fall, and they are the leaders of the group Save Morgan Street, which is... It's not just Morgan Street that needs to be saved. They just happen to be the ones that will be completely destroyed by the hospital expansion. And what's the newest thing on the this hospital expansion?
Well, as a lot of people in Saratoga know, we did send out a mailer over 2,000 residents during election time, recent voters in the last election, to try to get their vote to change the city council over. And that failed by as little as 256 votes for some of the candidates. Shortly after that, just before Christmas, they did have a vote, the city council, and they approved the zoning change.
Mm-hmm.
For the hospital, for their three parcels.
I want to go into that a little more in depth. So,
but basically, there was only one city council person, John Frank, who opposed it. Last time in 2016, when they did their site plan for the building, he recused himself. But since there was 18 parcels in this comprehensive master plan change, and it wasn't carved out, he didn't feel like he had to recuse himself. And he did a decent job about talking against it. However, the other ones were pretty much as we thought they would be against it, and some were a little bit like insulting even in their
reasons why.
Yeah,
the election was not kind to citizens of the area, and I don't understand why not a lot of the candidates, but there's two that I just want to mention. I mean, Skip Scirocco was against it, but he didn't really get the money that Commissioner Madigan and Mayor Kelly got. I mean, we're talking about tens and tens of thousands of dollars from special interest groups. Pretty much everything, every union that has anything to do with construction, steam fitters, pipe fitters, plumbers, horse racing, packs. There's probably 15 or 20 of them that donated thousands of dollars to their campaigns, which kind of put the other candidates, the ones that were challenging them, in a tough position because they didn't receive any monies from, and I'm going to call it, the wealthy Republicans in the city who have connections with builders, developers, or their businesses that have to do with that. So they were influenced, and I said at the time that just like the school board, when you pump in $50,000 or $60,000 into campaigns, that's pretty obscene for local elections. And what it shows is who are you going to be beholden to? All right. So if you get $30,000 from the building industry, the construction industry and all the other unions, when they want something, what are you going to do? You want to count on that money the next time you run for reelection. And they don't donate money unless they want favors. Let's face it. So I think the election was what turned out the way it did because of the big money that was poured in. And I honestly am surprised Peter Martin. I mean, he was leaving office in a week and he voted for this. But I mean, when Mayor Kelly was running for election, she was totally opposed. And this was the first time, not this time. She was totally opposed to that. She came over to visit you people, didn't she? The neighborhood, Mayor Kelly?
She didn't. I didn't really talk to her personally.
Yepsen.
Okay.
We know that Mayor Yepsen did talk to us beforehand on her election, but she recused herself as well because of employment.
Right.
Offers and rejections before the vote on the site plan in 2016.
Okay. I thought 2 years ago when Meg Kelly was running for mayor, she came over to the neighborhood and said she was opposed to it.
I've heard that. I don't have personal knowledge of it. I know it was Morgan. I was more along Woodland Court. Save Morgan Street is we're from Birch Run, but it's also all of Woodland Court,
right?
The east side of Myrtle Street, the south side of Morgan Street, and all of Seward Street, almost all of Seward Street, going up from Van Dam up the church.
Sure.
To Clement Ave.
Now, see, I get the impression that it's Morgan Street. Now, this is just, I think, people's perception. That it's just Morgan Street that's going to be affected by this. But there is a very large area of citizens and housing that are going to be affected by this, correct?
Traffic comes in right now from Denton Road from the west, from Greenfield. And then you also have them coming across Clement Avenue from Skidmore area, kind of across from east, again, off 50 early, and cutting through by the hospital. It's going to increase.
Mm-hmm.
Because people now have to go, instead of to West Avenue for the hospital complex, or Care Lane, which is west on Church Street, they're going to actually, more people are going to come through Clement Avenue and Seward Street and Myrtle Street.
Right.
And you can hardly drive there now. I mean, it's really a one-lane road. It's really a one-lane road as it is, and it's got these sharp turns and I just can't imagine what they're thinking, because they're going to have to use those tiny little roads to get into their new office area and parking. I don't understand it at all.
Well, I was having breakfast with John Frank one morning, and we got talking about this, and we were sitting on one side of the wall in Compton's. And if you've been into Compton's for breakfast, I mean, it's not a very large dining room. But he said, you know, look at this wall over to the wall across from us. And he said, this is how large Morgan Street is. And he says, can you imagine with the increase, and we're talking about heavy increase in traffic, what is that going to do to the area?
Well, first of all, it's not just the road. I honestly would love to have the answer that if this hadn't been donated, this land, to the hospital, would they have ever chosen that to do this expansion? Because, first of all, Mr. Collins, D.A., the old man,
right,
who built it, the blasting was just unbelievable. And the reason some of this was left without being developed was, as verbatim from his mouth, is it wasn't worth all the blasting, because you don't go that far down and you're there in bedrock. And so, why would you put I mean, I know it's a donation, so they're not paying for the land. But why would you cram all this in this ridiculous place where you can't even drive in and out? And the cost of building this is going to be unbelievable, plus just upsetting a community in this town. I mean, the most important thing to protect is your zoning. And who changes residential zoning? I mean, it's, you know, it's like the kiss of death for politicians to go down that road. I don't understand what everybody's thinking.
Well, again, it's big money. Developers, contractors, unions donated the big money to Madigan and Kelly's campaign. And we're talking about, again, tens and tens of thousands of dollars. And when you... you know, when you do this, of course you're gonna benefit these people. Now, I want to talk to D.A. about D.A. Collins. He donated this property to the hospital. I think the property was valued at what,
$3.1 million.
So not only are you taking property that's taxed at $3.1 million off of the tax roll and giving it to a nonprofit, so you lose tax money. And he was also given a position on the hospital board, if I'm not mistaken.
That's the rumor that I've heard, yeah.
Okay.
Since the vote.
Yeah. Okay. And since the vote. So right away, we have one payback from him giving the property to the hospital. He's gotten a payback of a spot on the hospital board. If that comes to pass.
I'm not too sure it was a pure donation. They may have paid for value for that, but that property can easily be resold for what they...
Yeah, I thought that he part of it was the donation.
Possible,
yeah, yeah. For a tax write-off, I'm sure.
Yes.
But so I want to get back to the traffic on Morgan Street. Do you know of a traffic survey or traffic study that was done for the increase in traffic in that area?
The city attorney always references it and says that their consultant found that there would be minor increase in traffic during business hours, and that it wouldn't be any more than a suburban neighborhood on Long Island, they said.
Well, then why don't they move to Long Island? That's what I would say.
That's not saying anything.
No, but
I don't want to live in Long Island either.
No, I don't mean you. I meant city attorney and the hospital people. If it's only gonna be, but they're talking about it's going to be minimal at daytime. I would think it would be minimal at nighttime. I mean, I honestly don't think a survey was done. I think they made it up, because if they said a comment like that in downtown or daytime, don't worry about it.
I think they probably got a consultant from suburban Long Island to do the traffic study up here on the cheap and just to reference a survey for CEQA.
Well, it sounds feasible. Right. The environmental impact of the area, too. That sounds feasible, because the 59 micro apartments they're building downtown on 3/4 acre piece of property, I can't believe a traffic survey was done on that. You're adding 59 apartments in downtown Saratoga that's already you can't go down to. I mean, I know people that say they won't even go downtown anymore because of the congestion and people.
Well, how about the restaurateurs? How do you think they feel? A lot of my friends, they say, where are we going to have dinner? Oh, there. Oh, I don't want to go where I can't park.
Right.
So the restaurateurs have to start speak up and say, wait a minute. You know, this is going to become increasingly difficult, and our business could fall off.
Well, I know for a fact that people from out of the area that come to Saratoga, coming to the racetrack in the summer, I hear a lot of people saying they're not coming back anymore, that Saratoga has lost its quaintness. And you can build the city up because, like they did in the 80s and 90s without destroying the quaintness, because on every postage-sized piece of property now, we're building and building. And they don't care who they knock over in their destruction path. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is the council did change a little bit. We had one change in the council with Commissioner Dalton winning election, taking the seat of Peter Martin. Has she made a comment about what she wants to do on Morgan Street, whether she's for or against this, or hasn't she come out and said anything?
Not to my knowledge. You know, we'll talk to anybody. You know, it was interesting because I did read up on Frank and Compton's, and when I retired, I was going to Compton's for breakfast, and once my wife retired, that was the end of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, Frank was, you know, seems to be more in touch with going out and talk to regular people. I don't know about the regular city council. You were talking about, you know, developers and stuff. And I think the reason this vote was against us at the election is most people don't associate the hospital as being a developer.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I bring that up is because everybody sees Saratoga's spine there, you know, Dr. Herzog on the corner there on Myrtle Street when you go by on Church. The hospital owns that property. It's sandwiched between Myrtle Street and the golf course. Hospital owns that property. The Saratoga Spine leases it from the hospital, but they own the building. They built the building.
So that's tax-free.
That's the only property I could find on Myrtle Street, on the Church Street campus, that is taxed. And it's taxed at a nice rate.
Really?
Really, as a business. So that's kind of obvious. Now, when we were going through all these hearings, you know, parking came up for downtown. I was shocked that one person, as an aside, said they bought a condo downtown on Broadway with no parking, and they were assured, don't worry, there's overnight street parking, and you don't have to worry about it. In the summer, they stopped overnight street parking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this poor person with his wife, a couple, they probably have two cars, but
right,
don't even have one space anywhere. But to get back to the developers about the hospital is that on Myrtle Street, there's the OBGYN center,
mm-hmm.
and there's also the dialysis center over there.
Okay.
And the hospital has said on the record twice at meetings against us that they can't build on those buildings because they don't own it. Now, I can't find, I do a search for Myrtle Street. I do for back end of Myrtle Street because sometimes it's called, you know, off Myrtle Street, those properties. I can't find any tax records for those thing as them paying taxes. Now, are they part of the hospital planned unit development, the PUD, and are they tax exempt? And if they're tax exempt, but the hospital doesn't own it, how does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they're charging Medicare the higher rate for being closer to the hospital, which is one of the reasons they said they had to be so close.
So close to the campus.
And that's so, what this is all about.
So my question is, who's going to build this building? Who's going to own this big building on Morgan Street? Is the hospital going to really own it? Are they just a shell corporation as a real estate development to build stuff for medical offices that other people own that they can be tax exempt from city and county and school tax and also charge Medicare more for being closer to the hospital?
Well, Ruin Realty and Charlie Waite from Adirondack Trust were very large donors to Madigan and Mayor Kelly. So that may put into question realtors, banks loaning money as two of the people that want their hands in this, that wanted these people to be elected so that they could have access to these people. I mean, when you look at what happened back then before the election and the money, you can see a pattern that was developing. And it really doesn't take a scientist or a genius to look at that and say, why are they putting all this money into a candidate? And the reason is a quid pro quo. And we've heard that saying a lot.
Lately.
And I think what you're doing is you're seeing this blooming. One of the things I asked about Commissioner Dalton was the fact that she will listen to citizens. And I don't think she would be as obnoxious as happened at the meeting in December, which I'll get into a little bit later. So I think if you approach her to see where she stands on this issue, I mean, I know she's very close to Madigan and to Mayor Kelly, but that doesn't necessarily mean she'll vote with them all the time. I would talk to her and see what she has to say. I mean, she's on our show next Saturday, and I've always found her to be engaging and concerned.
Well, we'll talk to anybody and everybody about this. But unfortunately, at this point, I think it's going just to the planning board. And so, in fact, Michelle Madigan said, which was a little surprising to me, saying, oh, she wished that it stayed as a planned unit development amendment, because then they would have control over it at the end, and they could help us. She could help us out with the site plan and making sure that we're happy with it. And but now it's all in the hands of the planning board. And then what you said about Peter Martin, it was a little disappointing, because he puts all his faith in the planning board. And I hate to tell you, but we went there. First of all, with the county planning board, we went there, and they clearly told us that if it's not within 500 feet of a county road or a park or some kind of border, town border, that they have no jurisdiction. And there was one person there on the county planning board who does work for the hospital, and he said he questioned whether he should recuse himself, and the chairman said, I don't think that's going to be necessary. So the thing is that it's not within 500 feet of Route 29, which is truck Route 29, which is Church Street, Van Dam, going over to 50. It's not within 500 feet of the Greenfield border, although it's pretty close, mm-hmm. and to both those places at by 500 feet. And our greenbelt or the golf course is not a county park, so it's not within 500 feet of that. So the hospital went around saying that this is not, it was fully approved by the board. First of all, I was at that meeting. There was going to be one recusal, so I don't know how the minutes came out that there wasn't. And then the other thing is, it's not that they approved it. They just said there's nothing to approve, that we don't have jurisdiction. When it comes to the county plan board, there was 18 parcels on there. Vince DeAngelis went there and browbeat the planning board. They have their own attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why their own attorney wasn't there. I'm hoping that the next time around they don't rely on Vince DeAngelis. He's hostile to us.
Well, he's hostile to everybody that doesn't agree with Michelle Madigan and Mayor Kelly. Very hostile.
So I'm hoping they use their own attorney when this site plan comes up by the hospital. Don't use Vince DeAngelis. We'll get a better shake on the actual how they structured the site plan. But the other thing is, he relied on the thing that the planning board had 18 parcels. They broke it up among themselves, and the junior member, the newest member, got the hospital. Not all of them looked at the hospital site thing for the master plan. And she gave her opinion, and they all made their comments after hearing us and approved it, saying that they're going to knock it down from OMB 2 to OMB 1, which is going to be a smaller structure and stuff, and less density. And then there's another person that I noticed, and we're not immune to looking on the internet. I don't like being on the internet. But John Kaufman says, oh, it's not, be no residences along the golf course. That's an old site plan from Augustinian, and there's no proof of it. I could show him the proof. It clearly says up to 42 residences along the golf course for Zone F on their planned unit development. But also, the city planning board said clearly that it can be CRN2 as well as OMB1. It's a mixed designation for all three parcels. And so people aren't saying they can't even build residences there. They are wrong. They are flat wrong. They do not know what they're talking about. They talk authoritatively about it, but they are authoritatively wrong.
Well, that's why, I mean, I never personally go to blogs to get information. And I've only been on Kaufman's blog a couple times just to see what he has to say about politics. But you got to remember, his wife ran for public office and lost two or three times. He is certainly pro. Well, I'm going to call it right now that the Democrats that left the party and the executive committee back in the summer because Morrison beat Madigan in the primary. His wife was one of the leaders of that, so he's biased on anything that he says about the hospital project. About other stuff, I'm not really sure. You can't put any faith in blogs because that's the person's opinion, one person's opinion. And they're partial. But people do take what they say on blogs as hands down the truth. And he's an eloquent writer, so people think, oh, he must know what he's talking about. Like you said, they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, I don't want to come down too hard on him because he does provide a good service, and I'm actually going to get information and look it up myself to verify it. But he's gotten some of the facts wrong, and that's troublesome. Okay. For me, and because we know that they are wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't want to come down completely on him. I think it's important nowadays. We don't have much press in Saratoga.
Okay.
We get more coverage from the Daily Gazette out of Schenectady of going against the hospital because nobody wants to go against the hospital.
A lot of people don't even realize this is going on.
Right. And the Times Union, I think. They, Wendy Libertor, covers pretty well.
Francine Grinnell from Saratoga, Saratogian as well, does a good job
right.
of covering us.
Now, as far as Kaufman goes, I want to make a disclaimer. I did go a couple times because people told me during political, during the politics, and because I just find it fascinating that it's, I don't even know if people know Jane Wee is his wife because she doesn't go by Kaufman. I assume they're married, but she is very, very pro change in Saratoga. So I went for the political thing. How he stands on the hospital, I'm not sure. I really shouldn't say that everything he says is entirely wrong. But, like you said, people don't know about it. And I think the blog is a wrong place to get information, to tell you the truth, because you can't. Unless you get the facts right, and I would go to the sources, and like you said, the reporters outside of Saratoga, the Gazette and Times Union, really know the facts because they delve into it and research. But one of the things, and you're right, a lot of people don't even know what's going on with the hospital. I don't think they take into consideration the, they say it's going to take doctors a faster time to get there for surgeries. Well, you've got Care Lane, you got One West Medical that you could throw a rock and hit the hospital. And the whole area surrounding the hospital has specialists that are top of the line. I don't know where you want to put these people and why you have to have them under one roof. I don't understand it.
No. Well, I think the sad part about it, no one's far away from the hospital in Saratoga.
Right.
I mean, this isn't a huge metropolitan area. So their arguments, they're going to have it their way no matter what. It doesn't matter what we say. It's just like all this that you turn on your computer and all this about the hospital expansions there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was everywhere. The amount of money they had to spend to campaign for this had to be incredible. And, you know, there's no way. We're just a small community. How are we going to fight that?
Right. Well, you know, they're part of Albany Med now. I mean, they had some agreement a couple years ago. So, of course, Albany Medical Center probably has a stake in what happens here. And they've got an unlimited amount of money, so they're not going to not want to do this.
Yeah, but someone told me, look at Burlington, Vermont, their hospital, and they said the residents around there like the hospital because they consulted them a lot on stuff. We were never consulted on any of this. And, like, one of the things that, like I said, I'm not totally hostile against John Coffin. I'm just irritated at when he gets the facts wrong.
Right.
And the thing is, they went for the zoning change through the comprehensive master plan in November of 14. It was passed by the city council in June of 2015. Then they came out with the site plan 2 months later in August. So you had July and August after June, right? Mm-hmm. He's saying that they did the planning unit first and then the zoning change. He's wrong. It was the other way around. That whole thing was just done. Nobody was noticed in the thing. Matt Jones got up, the attorney for the hospital, land use attorney, said, we're not legally required to do it. Michelle Madigan, who gets a lot of campaign money from things, says, well, if the residents want to know, my advice to the residents after this is that they should pay more attention to what's going on at the city with committee meetings and master plan stuff. And I'm saying, I researched every single agenda for the comprehensive plan committee, right, which was a year and a half, plus all the workshops and public meetings that the city council had after they submitted to the committee submitted to the city council, and it didn't appear, the hospital parcel did not appear as a item on any agenda, published agenda before any of those meetings, on any of those things for those 2 years, neither the comprehensive plan committee or the city council meeting. However, the DeAndrea parcel did. And so did Saratoga National, the golf course. They want to do a luxury resort there. That did. And they did it, a couple of meetings. They had it on the agenda. People came out in droves, but no mention of the hospital. So yet they say, oh, we gave public notice. And I said, well, if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, did it really fall? Why would anybody, I disagree with you, why would anybody leave their home and get involved and go to a city council meeting? It is like pounding sand.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of respect for people who run for politics and go through those meetings.
Definitely.
But why would you get involved in this? Well, I don't blame the citizens for not knowing it. I blame more the media about not covering it. And I blame the hospital and some of the former city officials for glossing over this, saying, oh, it's for the good of community. It's only a few neighbors doing it. Well, if it's for the good of the community, why doesn't the community pay for the expansion? Why do a few neighbors have to get their property values decreased, which John Frank said, who's the assessor for mm-hmm. the city, said it's definitely going to go down. Why do those few neighbors have to bear the cost for this hospital expansion and not the city in general? And if it's so good for the community, and that's the thing that's really hurtful to us.
Well, it is, and they keep saying it's for the greater good. But, you know, we would go to these city,
council meetings.
Council meetings. And it was such a hostile environment. It was unbelievable. So they're on one side, we're on the other. And, you know, you could tell they were almost smirking like we were making points that weren't that important. They're the greater good. We must remember we owe it all to the hospital. Well, that's well and good, but you stop and think. You look over there and you go, God forbid I get sick tonight or tomorrow night. Do I really want one of these guys? I mean, when you see the animosity they feel for residents in this town that argue with them on this, and then they're taking care of our health at the same time. I mean, It not to say they don't. I'm not. I don't mean that. But to see that other side of somebody in medicine that you look to up to, and you know they save lives, they do all these wonderful things, and then you see them so angry with you. That's kind of what didn't you think that was kind of a rude awakening? I didn't like it at all.
One of the doctors used the word he was appalled that his patients and neighbors would be against a hospital like this. And we're sitting there going like, you know, first of all, a lot of people don't know 55 Myrtle Street is the Mackey DeCress estate. It's a big yellow cottage with a detached garage that is sitting right on one of the holes of the golf course overlooking it. It's 3.5 acres. It's a triangular piece. It's just north of their administrative building and the dialysis center, right? The hospital got that for $600,000, I believe. All right, they tried to sell it for 2.9. They dropped it down, and they got it in 2014 for 600,000. I think it was just a tax write-off the guy wanted, or they gave him cash for it, and the rest was a write-off for the value of 1 point whatever it was, a half.
Right.
Then I think they were restricted from selling it for 2 years, so they got it in 2014. 2017, Ruhan put it on the market, and it was at 2.9. It went to 2.6 in June, and then they dropped it again to 2.4 and took it off the market. Why did it not sell if it's 3.5 acres overlooking the golf course? Because it's so close to their administrative building, their dialysis center, the flat parking lots with the night lights, all the thing along. It's not that great. They actually destroyed that Mackey estate as far as a luxury residence. Because of the thing. Same thing's going to happen when they build that other thing. Yet they tried to sell it while you got to look at the date. They tried to sell that in 2017. They did the zoning change in 2015, and they did the hearings for the site plan in 2016, right? And they're trying to sell that property. Nobody seems to care. They got the zoning change, and they're trying to sell their own property for a profit.
Right.
And they're trying to cut off all the Morgan Street and circle it with all commercial buildings and all parking lots and kill that neighborhood. And nobody seems to care. The chutzpah, if people don't know Yiddish, and I'm not Jewish, but I'm from Queens originally. And the thing is, the gall of the hospital to want to sell that property, and we're sitting there like deer in the headlights saying, why isn't the town questioning them about
it? I know, it's terrible.
Why aren't they bringing that up?
Well, there's a lot, and I don't know, it's not just Saratoga. I know it's other area, other cities, and there's a lot of apathy with, and I know, like, with one of the commissioners who I feel is not qualified for his position. The DPW, but he's from Saratoga, people just keep electing him, and you don't get a lot of people that go out to vote here. There's a lot of apathy. Well, you know what, everything's going good, I get my leaves picked up, you turn the faucet on, you get water, he's doing a great job. But they don't realize the other stuff that has been in the papers or things that he's not doing. And it's just they don't care. And, you know, it's like the hospital. You're not against the hospital. You brought your property when the hospital was there. But it's only when they're going to destroy the area that you get a little bit upset.
You know, it's really kind of odd. Usually, if there's some sort of a historical site somewhere, it's protected. It's landmarked, right?
Right.
So on this property that they're going to have was Gideon Putnam's original farm here. Now, wouldn't you think that the Historical Society or somebody would say, well, we better check into that? I mean, obviously, this town had some feeling for Gideon Putnam, right? Nothing matters. We could tell them anything about whatever has ever been there or planned for there or whoever it was owned by at some point. nothing matters. This is going to happen no matter what. And mm-hmm. At first I was like really new to this, and I thought, oh, well, this is good because Saratoga is this great little town, and, you know, citizens and politicians and business people are all aligned because we all have to survive, or it's none of us are going to make it. And so as I went through this process, I was like incredibly disillusioned because nothing we said made a difference. It would never. That was what they were going to do, and they're going to do it. Now, wouldn't you think from day one they would call some representatives from Birch Run and say, look, this is what we're planning on doing. Let's sit down and talk about it, because we want to be as soft as we can on the landing, right?
Sure.
Wouldn't you think so?
I would think so, but I want to read a quote by Mayor Kelly in 2019 in the spring. She said, an opinion might not be rendered by the planning board because the site is just one of 18 where zoning changes are proposed throughout the city, requiring a great deal of study. It's a big process, she said. This is just the beginning. That's just referencing the hospital, too, in this. There will be a lot of debate. Has she debated? Do you feel that she's debated much, giving much time as for the residents as she has the hospital?
No, I don't.
Well, let's put it this way. Most of the time, it was 2 minutes talking before public comment series mm-hmm. before then. So, and she said she would try to limit it to a half hour, maybe 45 minutes most, for as many people who signed up to talk for it and stuff. But it didn't go on. Towards the end, when after the you know, all the we sent out a flyer before the election and all that, she did open it up. She originally said it was going to be 3 minutes, and then she said it's not limited, and she did it for 2 meetings before they had the vote on the actual zoning change that they just had on the day before Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
at 6 p.m., a special meeting. It wasn't even a Tuesday night. It was a Monday night. They had a special meeting to do it. But for the 2 meetings before that, she did have open mic for 2 meetings, and she really, unless she went off track, and I was probably one of them that she cut off, she let the hospital and everybody else speak. Because I think they were feeling the heat that they weren't given, you know, a fair hearing. Now, to me, that's not analysis. An analysis is to say, tell your planning department to look at this and go at it. I'm telling everybody who's listening today and whoever they want to Elvis say, mark my words, they will build residences along the golf course. There must be some deal with the golf course that they're not going to build the commercial building along the golf course where that Mackey DeCress estate is, where their 3.5 acres are, and they're not going to build the office building overlooking the golf course, that they're going to look at residences there for their own interns or something they're going to do with Albany Med. They're probably going to put, you know, D.A. Collins's name on the medical building. They're going to build the office medical building, mm-hmm. which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. I tried to say at the city council, my parents were Hungarian immigrants. We came to the United States, to get ahead. It's not about the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce could do good. I'm sure Frank is a member of the Chamber of Commerce. Matheson is a member of the Chamber of Commerce. They're both against this. They both look at it. I could tell you, you could give their site plan, and they, or even just their existing 30-acre campus with all the flat parking lots, give it to a freshman architecture student at RPI, and he would say, oh, I could do better than this. Yet you had the mayor, one of the former mayors, come up and say how proud they are of all the work they've done with the hospital for developing it, and they kind of, it's like a third-rate improvement and, you know, a sprawling, you know, campus where they squandered acres. Then you had a former planning member, and John Kaufman even mentioned on this, thank God he's off the planning board, but he said that, and he was chairman one time, he was there for 12 years, he said if the residents really wanted the property not to be developed, that they should have just bought it themselves for $3.1 million. And that's the kind of stuff that we come against. And the thing is, everybody's overlooking the fact that, you know, those buildings that on Woodland Court and all those things were built between 67 and 73 on Morgan Street. Birch Run was offering plan is dated 1982. The hospital plan unit development, right? The first one is 1985. So both those neighborhoods predated. There was four master plans before they changed this fifth one since those buildings were built in 67, all right, and 73. Well, four since 73 anyway, maybe even five by 67. But the thing is that all of them said that that was residential and it wasn't to be commercial. Now, after 50 years, literally 50 years, right, you're saying those houses built in 67, oh, they're going to be captured and surrounded by commercial development. Mm-hmm. What kind of masterful planning is that?
Well, you know, I wasn't born in Saratoga. I married a Saratogian girl, and I've been living here since 1986. And I feel that was the great resurgence of Saratoga. And, you know, I mean, it was a beautiful growing city, still nice and quaint, still had the moniker city in the country, which but now it's not even, there is no country around. But I can see the change from residents being the important issue and building being the important issue now and citizens being cast aside. They take no consideration into homeowners anymore. It's all, can we put a big building there, whether it be $600,000 condos, which aren't even half used. You have these buildings all over the place, and they just keep on building, building, and building. And it's sad because residents and homeowners are kind of like second-class citizens now.
Even though we pay exorbitant property taxes and school tax.
Exactly.
They forget that. So when all of us, our property value goes down, I hope they're ready to lower my property taxes.
Well, let's hope so. But I want to go to that. You're listening to Skidmore Radio, 91.1 FM, and our phone number is 518-580-5783, and that's 518-580-5783, and you're welcome to call in. I want to go back to that midnight special meeting and the Monday night. Christmas was Wednesday. We were into two major holidays, Hanukkah and Christmas, and it was the night before Christmas Eve. And all through the house, I don't think a lot of people knew that that meeting was being held at 6 o'clock, which is an hour earlier than any council meeting starts. A lot of people were out of town. They may have been traveling to.
I couldn't make it. I had to watch a video, you know.
Right.
Did you know about it? How did you know about it? I didn't know about it.
I was watching, and I just knew that they scheduled it. I guess I'm not too sure if somebody emailed me. Did you see it?
Well, the thing is, I mean, you know, the timing is, of course, you can see why they did it in the timing. Not many people were aware of it. Probably a lot of people were out of town. You were getting, you know, you were in a holiday, in Hanukkah. You had Christmas coming up.
Also, you mentioned you don't know where Robin Dalton's like. We don't know either, but they didn't want to take a chance with her showing up in January and voting against it.
Right.
So they
may not know where she stands, right, or if she can be have another outlook on the citizens talking to her. That's why I feel you should contact her and schedule a meeting as soon as you can and explain everything to her and see what kind of feeling you get from her.
Well, unfortunately, according to Michelle Madigan, she gave the impression that once they were done with the rezoning, it just goes to the planning board, doesn't come back to them for approval.
Well, maybe you should go on to the planning board and have big meetings or a big turnout and have John Franco with you. And if Robin Dalton is for the citizens and not for big development, maybe she could go with you and they could talk to the planning board. I mean, they're our representatives. They're not people that just sit in thrones, and they are the citizens' representatives. And I get the feeling, and I've been involved in charter change, that it would do the city a greater benefit in having a different form of government. Because you said that they are kind of nasty to you when you go up and talk. I don't think representatives should be that way. Even if they disagree with you, they should give you the courtesy of having your viewpoint.
Especially if an award system was in place. Meaning, if for listeners don't know what award system, I'm from Queensland, you know, and Jersey and stuff. And we always had award systems where the local councilman was from your neighborhood, and then right. there was maybe a few at large. And this way, there was always someone to go and complain to and represent you at the council meetings to be your advocate. For us, first time around, it was Mathieson because his dad lived in Birch Run. And that made all the difference in the world.
Well,
because
we
didn't know about it, and
right.
we missed it.
Well, you say the ward system, and I always believe the ward system is you get a more fair representation than you do with all citywide elected officials because of the special interest groups putting pressure on them. And not that it can't be done with wards, but I came from a city just a little ways away from here. My father was a councilman from the first ward. Now, what he did was he had meetings before council meetings 2 or 3 days before. I remember in our church cafeteria, because it was centrally located in the ward, and he had meetings where the citizens could go and air what they thought about the agenda coming up. And I mean, they wanted to let him know how they felt. And I'm very surprised. And Chris Mathieson, I think, was the only commissioner that used to do that. He used to hold hearings for citizens to come to before meetings and get an idea of what, you know, how they felt about issues. Now, I want to go back because we only have like 6 minutes, believe it or not, but I want to go back to that meeting and what John Frank said, because he had ideas that I thought were excellent and should have made other council members think about it. What did John, his reasoning for voting against it?
Well, he said that he thought the property was underutilized and that they could easily build a multi-story structures on Myrtle Street and have a catwalk or a pedestrian pathway elevated above the street that trucks could go under, and that people can like go from both sides of the street over to their other campus. Instead of building something up the street where people will have to get into their cars to come to the lower car, especially handicapped people.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, if you do a building with a parking garage underneath, yet and you know, part of the expense would be perhaps an elevator, right? But if you have an elevator, now you have handicapped access where people with wheelchairs in all types of weather, winter, summer, as well, rainy day, they don't have to park outside and go there. They don't have to go and clean their car off when they come out in the snow. And they can just take an elevator with their wheelchair and go across to the other buildings or through the other buildings.
Right.
It's like I said, a freshman student at RPI could figure this out. And this is what Mathieson said, and this is what Frank said. And they all just look at the property, and they just know that the 30 acres down, you know, down on Church Street is underutilized. So
and it's hospital property. And they could have built on their own campus, and it wouldn't have affected a big impact. And we're not talking about one street or one neighborhood. We're talking about a fairly large section of homeowners. And it's funny because the person that owned the property said that he would never do that to the property that his son ended up giving or selling part of to the hospital.
Well, also, just one more thing with the planning board. I'm not that optimistic as you as being able to pressure them with elected officials, because the elected officials talk about them as if they're some kind of ivory tower judicial, you know, body that There's seven of them, and they're staggered a year apart, and that basically no one mayor can pressure them, or and no one council person could pressure them, and they could do that, and they're very professional to look at it. Meantime, the city attorney goes in there and browbeats them with what the city council wants, and we only get our public comment and stuff, and if we have to hire our own attorney just to,
right,
to counteract the city attorney.
No, I want to go get into this quick, and it's not an exact comparison, but Shelters of Saratoga was offered over $1 million by a citizen, Ed Mitzen, who owns Finger Paints, to build a building for the Code Blue. The neighborhood didn't want it. They sued, and I think the first time they may have lost, they appealed the decision. I mean, they said it was going to destroy the area. But I don't believe it would have, because it would give these people, our homeless, a place to go to. And usually they don't hang around the building that they go into. The city had said they would put all kinds of blockage so that they didn't get into those neighborhoods. They'd keep it well lit, the alleyways. And so they went back to court, and the court went in their favor. So that whole, our citizen that was going to donate over $1 million, so, you know, to build this. And so they won in court because the citizens were going to be affected. Now, why can't you, they don't think the same way in your area that they did over in, you know.
Well, they may well. Our attorney hasn't gotten to the appeal thing of this zoning change just happened. So
okay.
That's the first appeal. It may very well happen. Same thing happened with the parking garage for the city center. The Muzan House appealed that because they were going to actually cast a shadow over them with the first site plan. And they appealed it. And they won. The Muzan House won on appeal. And then the city had to negotiate with them. Again, it comes down to, like, that gall of doing it. I don't, you know, I talked to other residents, and I just feel like, am I wrong because I live near the hospital? And they said, Dennis, nobody I know in Saratoga feels like there's we need more development. And they'll definitely, and even the ones who do feel like we need smart development.
Saratoga, go ahead.
I think the other big contributing factor in just being at these little council meetings and all, the hospital has become, in my opinion, the most powerful venue in this whole area.
Mm-hmm.
And the Code Blue thing didn't have that clout behind it. It appears to me that our council members and all are just whatever they want, they're going to get.
And
Dennis is right. I mean, they're doing the Sears building. And, I mean, everywhere I go, there's Saratoga Hospital. It's just the hospital has a tremendous influence over
this community. And I think the council's affected, and not all of them and not every time, but I think they're affected by special interest groups. I always believed, when I moved up here and they started building, I mean, the Wise Building was the tallest building other than off-Broadway when I moved up here, and it was a big, we don't want buildings that big. But I always felt managed growth would have been really good for this city. Mm-hmm. But SaveMorganStreet.com is the website, and people can have contact information there. SaveMorganStreet.com, and I wish you would contact the group just to clarify any questions that you have or get some information. You're still working on appealing, and I'd love to have you back again because this is a very important issue, and, you know, it needs to get out in the public.
A long time ago, a former governor of New York State said to me, I said, Governor, what do you think about Saratoga? We were at the races one day. And he said, he's always been a fan, and he said they're going to have to be very careful or it's going to get away from them.
And I think it's getting away from us right now.
Yeah.
From hearing people talk that come from out of town that have been coming for quite a while, you can get the opinion and the overview that we are starting to lose a little of the luster of the city. And we are a great city. There's no doubt about it. You can't knock the city. But we are losing a little luster of the quaint, great city.
I retired here because of the city center. It got me up here. The you know, the founding fathers of the Renaissance for Saratoga did a great job with that. You know, but we're talking about 1980, 1990. You know, now 30 years later, they're still going gangbusters. And you know, they don't really want to talk about smart growth. And they're having growing pains already. The parking is a huge issue.
Yeah, it is.
But, too, we can't forget about the citizens. That's the heart of the city. And it seems, you know, like maybe that needs to... We need to have a little bit of a reawakening there.
Well, vote for a change of the form of government. It'll be on the ballot in November, and we'll get more representation. And I think that's a very big key. And contact Robin Dalton, Commissioner Dalton. See where she stands. Tell her your information, and she'll listen, okay? And I thank everybody for listening. We will have... these two guests on again because they're very knowledgeable and they're involved heavily in it. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting us.
Oh, anytime. Believe me, we're going to put Polka Magic on. And John, we went a little over, but I'm getting you on right now. So you have a great week, everybody, and stay warm.